Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Okay. The last few weeks we've spoken around how to find your calling, how to walk in your calling. And I take this meeting... Okay, so as I was saying, I believe you take your life very seriously. A lot of people don't take meetings like this very seriously. They like the Sunday jabberee, you know, but you, I know there are many reasons why people can't make a church on Tuesdays, maybe for work, for distance. For many reasons, some people are hooked up online watching, and I celebrate everyone. Can we celebrate all our online viewers? Yeah. So I know our church is in town. Many people have to go back to the outskirts, you know, and they have to be on their way back home early. Very soon I will have church centers in all the outskirts of Abuja, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, but I take you very, very, you know, very seriously. I know that you are very serious. I know. Let me celebrate Sally. That for that one, thank you. Celebrate that very well now. All right. So when I took you that series on how to find your calling, I was very, very deliberate. You see, I didn't hold back anything from you. Although, to be sincere with you, there are many things I would have wanted to say to you, that I still felt the meeting was too big to still say some things. Well, everything I shared with you in those series, if you would take everything to work, you are going to be great. I tell you, with no any sense of restraint, you are going to be very great. A great man, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will do what? Increase in learning. He would increase in wisdom. So I told you how to find your place in God. I taught you how to not be confused. So if you are confused here, I want you to still go back and listen to all those sermons. Listen to them all over again. They are there. Free. The Bible says faith comes by what? And what? Hearing and hearing. Once is not enough. Once is not enough. Hear it again. Hear it over and over and over again. I thought the way I got faith for my healing is that I listened to Bishop Oedipo's message, 5 power buttons on total health. 5 power buttons on total health. I must have listened to that sermon about 100 times. I could at a point almost verbatim, you know, be preaching it as he was preaching it. I was so drunk in the knowledge of what I learned that it became almost impossible, you know, to convince me of sickness or infirmity. So go back for clarity's sake. Go back, listen to them again. If you take those things seriously, you are going to end your life in a very good place. You know, I said to you that God leads us, and I taught you how God leads us. So, before the end of the year, you know, open your heart, be serious about it, and let God lead you more and more into it. So, we have 8 weeks, you know, that's a seminar on its own, 8 weeks of complete. Some of these things I even shared there even went more viral on social media than what I shared on Sunday, because they were very, very serious. I told you to find your purpose. Have a life before you look for a life partner. Have a life. Don't start your life looking for life partner. Have a life first. And it's because one was already chasing 1,000 that two chase 10,000. If two people that are not chasing anything come together, what will happen to them? They will catch them. Amen. So make sure the person you are joining yourself to already has a life. Or they become a burden. They become a burden, all right? So, we're going to start a new series today. How to handle offenses and hurts. Now, forgiveness is key, even in faith. If you open the book of Mark, do more, you're here, Abby. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to verse 24. Mark 11, 23 to 24, what does it say? Mark, yes? Yeah? Yeah.
Be thou removed.
Yeah. Yep.
And shall not doubt in his heart.
Yes.
But shall believe that those things which he said,
yes,
shall come to pass.
Yes.
He shall have whatsoever he said.
Verse 24.
Therefore I say unto you,
yes,
What things whatsoever you
desire. What things whatsoever you desire. Someone say things. What things? Things you desire. Say things. No, because people think that faith is all about salvation. Someone say things. Give me an example of a thing. Someone say camera. Private jet seat. Someone say a thing. Someone say what things? Abi? So the Bible didn't say. Don't spiritualize that symbol. Don't spiritualize that scripture. He wasn't talking about heaven. We're talking about what? Things. Someone say things. He says what things whatsoever you desire. Yes, continue.
When you pray. Believe that you. Receive them.
You have received them.
And ye shall have them.
Verse 25.
And when you stand praying.
When you stand praying, you see. So it's still about talking about prayer. Faith, prayer, all is still in the same, you know, teaching. He says, when you stand praying, yes?
Forgive.
When you stand praying, forgive. Yes?
If ye have aught against any.
If you have aught against anybody. If you have aught against your ex. Praise the Lord. What should you do? Forgive. When you stand praying, even when you sit praying, don't say, okay, let me sit. Say, so long I'm sitting, I don't have to forgive. When you pray, he says, forgive. Yes, what does he say next?
That your father also, who is in heaven,
may forgive you your trespasses. So you see that it's possible that when you pray, and in Galatians he said that, he says, faith works by love. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, your faith will not work. And the reason why some of us are held back and held down, you see, when I've done everything I'm supposed to do and I can't have answers for my prayers, the thing I check is my love walk. I check out, is there some form of unforgiveness in my heart or in my spirit somewhere that could have been a barrier towards, or because the enemy can hold on to that. Are you following my point? So forgive. But it's not always, you know, easy like that. And that's why we have this teaching tonight. How do I handle oughts and offenses? Are you following my point? It's a very serious thing, particularly even in church. There are people who are in church who are keeping malice. You'll be shocked. There are people in this place now that might not be talking to each other. And they're in church. There are people that go for eight-hour prayer marathon. 8 hours. And they're praying. And there's somebody there that they are not talking to. And they are praying. And there's unforgiveness in their heart. The Bible says that your Father which is in heaven would also forgive you. Alright? So, we're going to start tonight. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Help me. Luke 17 verse 1. The first line, what does it say? Luke 17 verse 1. Then he said unto them, It's impossible, but that of faith. What does NLT say? What does NLT say?
One day Jesus said to the disciples, there will always be temptations to sin.
There will always be temptations. So he calls offenses temptations to sin. What does NIV say? Give me NIV. NIV. You have it.
Things that cause people to stumble are about to come.
So things that cause people to stumble. In this world, there will always be offenses. Just close that in your mind. You are living in a fallen world. And there are people with unrenewed mind in this place. People are born again, but they have unrenewed mind. Are you following my point? They are going to do things or say stuff that will rub you the wrong way. So if you zero that in your mind already, that offenses are going to come. That's the first place to start. People are going to offend you. Whether you like it, whether you want it, people are going to offend you. Whether offense by commission or by omission, people are going to offend you. Clear. Offenses will come. Not only that people are going to offend you, you are going to offend people. Are you following me? Yes. In fact, I have a very serious problem with people who don't want to offend anybody. It's a sign of weakness. People are so needy of validation. People are so needy of other people's approval that they don't have personal convictions. And so they shift their convictions and compromise on their stand all the time so that they don't offend people. It's a sign of weakness. Paul says in Galatians 1 verse 10, he says, if I seek to please men, then I cannot be a servant of Christ. If all my life I am always seeking to please people, I cannot serve Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to serve God truly, you will offend some people. Some of us will offend our parents. When I just gave my life to Christ, my uncle used to send me to go and buy alcohol for him before. And I used to go and buy alcohol for him. But when I gave my life to Christ, I told him I couldn't buy alcohol anymore. Ah. They said, did they say you should drink it? I said, no. I cannot buy it for you. I don't believe in it. He was so offended, he beat me up, and I did not care. When I gave my life to Christ, I started attending a church that my father said I shouldn't attend. I offended him. I will sneak to that church all the time, and when I come back, he will beat me. I knew he would beat me. I already prepared in my heart that he was going to be beaten. And I already was sure I was going to go again. I was going to offend him because of the difference in our belief system. Some of you are going to offend your colleagues. Now, there are people who you sit down in an office and your colleagues are speaking vulgar things. And you don't want to offend them. Are you following my point now? So you sit down there with them. Somebody was checking or saying stuff that you know that the Holy Spirit is scratching your heart. You can't sit down in this kind of meeting. But you said, if I stand up now, they might be offended. Offend them, goddamn it. Offend them. Bible says, blessed is he that does not sit in the seat of sinners. So if you are someone who is a man pleaser, and there are people like that, always needy of validation. You don't have your own stand. You don't have an assurance in Christ. You need people to approve you all the time. It's a sign of weakness. There are people in a relationship. You don't have your own company. You don't have your own stand. You shift all the time. I mean, you are here. Somebody says, I don't believe that. You shift. You shift. Everything just to ensure that nobody's angry with you. I don't want problem. I don't want anybody. You are going to have problem. Zero it in your mind. There are people I have offended. And there are people I will still offend. I have to offend them. I'm not needy of your approval. There are things I've said that people don't believe in. There are people who have said stuff to me, and I'm not going to change what you say. I'm not going to change my stand. I don't. You see, sometimes you may even look as if you are more knowledgeable, but I have a stand. I have a reason why I've chosen this stand. I have my convictions. If I say something in this person, I say things like, I don't stand to be corrected. You have heard me say things like that before. It's because I have looked at that point, I've studied that thing, and I've come to a point that this is my belief over this matter. It doesn't mean that we are not friends. Somebody can say that communion is wrong. Somebody can preach that and say communion is wrong, that there's no need for communion. Some people have even preached that there's no need for baptism. That's their conviction. Some of them might even be my friends. But I believe that baptism is here because I have examples in scriptures of people who were baptized after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Abi? Yes. Even Paul baptized the Philippian jailer and his family in the middle of the night. But somebody else might say, I want to say, okay, I don't want to offend you, because we are friends. I will not shift my post. It's a sign of weakness. If you enter into a premarital relationship like that, you'll be easily abused. Check out for people who are easily abused. There are people who are always seeking to please people. If you are somebody that have sense and you have your own stand, they can't abuse you. Because you're not going to take that rubbish. Are you getting my point? You are not going to take this kind of rubbish. This kind of rubbish you are taking is because you don't have an assurance in yourself. And you need this person's approval. Everybody who is a victim of abuse are always people who can't have their own stand. So settle in your mind early, I am going to offend people. So offenses are not going to come just from their own end. Offenses are going to come from your own hand. Please don't be a man. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be a man pleaser. Turn to your other neighbor, say, my other neighbor, don't be a man pleaser. Don't be a woman pleaser either. Amen. All right. Having settled that, then let's move forward. Like I said earlier, we live in a fallen world and people are going to offend you. But while you can't control how people behave, you can control how you respond to what they did. You can't control people. You can control yourself. You can control your reactions. You can control your responses. You can control how you interpret what those people are doing. You can decide, I'm going to interpret this in this manner. That if this person does this, I'm going to take it like that. I will not reply like that. I will decide that if you are a pig, I'm not going to go into the gutter with you. Are you following my point? I can make up my mind that I'm going to watch. I can control my own reactions. And some of the things that we get angry over is a sign that we are carnal. It is difficult for somebody whose mind is aligned to eternity to get upset with some of the things we get upset over. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 165, what does it say? King James. Psalms 119, verse 165.
Great peace have they which love thy law.
Did you see what the Bible says? It says great peace. Abi? That means they have great peace because they love the Lord. If my mind is tuned to the Lord, I'm not going to be easily offended. If my mind is absorbed with the things of the kingdom, I'm not going to be easily offended. Some of the things that offend me, like I said, is an indication that my heart is still twisted, is still connected fully to carnal things. What does it say next? Help me do more.
Nothing shall offend them.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. There are people in church who can get offended at every slightest provocation. Somebody comes before you, you are very angry. You fight in the bank, you fight in the police station, you go to your children's school, you fight there, you are a fighter. You see, everything means something to you. It shows where your heart is. It's just tough. Just tough. Somebody drives back, mistakenly bashes your car. It's just tough. It's just tough. I'm telling you, it's just what? It's tough. You buy another one. Are you following my point? You see, when you are easily agitated, it shows the state of your heart. It's just tough. If your heart, it says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid where? In Christ with God. He said, therefore, tune your heart and things in heaven. Some of the things that you are angry, you are always angry everywhere. You are hypersensitive. Everything in this world annoys you. Your heart is carnal. It's just tough. It's just tough. It's just tough. I'm telling you, just tough. You borrow that one. Somebody likes your shoes. Says, I like your shoe. You know, there are people that cannot give anything in this world. They can't give anything that they belong, that they have. They can't give it. Anything that they have, if you take it, it's as if you are drawing blood from the depth of their soul. Nothing can be missing. They enter their house. If you're a student and somebody has taken one plate of their rice, the way they are going to be venting. I say, are you born again? Are you born again? Always vent. Anybody, they use your perfume. everything touches the depth of your soul. Your canal. It's your stuff. You buy another one. Are you following my point? You buy another one. No, Bishop Odupo said there was one day he was supposed to go to one Kinetics meeting. And the mechanic that was bringing his car, supposed to drive him to the airport, the car caught fire and burnt to ashes. So when the guy came home and was coming to the wall, he said, hey, come here, Shino. What's going on? He said, the car caught fire. He said he knew instantly that because of what he was going for, the meeting he was going for, the devil had planted that incident to get his mind turbulent so that he would not be able to receive that which God was preparing for him in that meeting. And that was the meeting he said he went. That God said, the baton has been passed over to you. That was the meeting he was going. He said, and so what? He said, get the second car. Airports. It's just tough. Just tough. Everything is what? You know, somebody stole my dog. Listen. My dog, that dog I love so much. So it was the trainer. It was the trainer that trained, that was supposed to be trained. The dog came and picked up the dog to go and train. Because the dog was too friendly. I said, which kind of sanguine dog is this? I want what kind of extrovert dog? I don't want a friendly, I want wicked dog that will bite people. So I told him, come and pick this dog. You know, it's not aggressive enough. So he took the dog, ran away with the dog, switched off his phone, ran off. So Val was in my house and he was asking. I said, you have stolen the dog. I said, so that the dog has not finished his word. Abandon. He said, I said, Abandon. And this room, did Jesus Christ come? Dog will not finish this word. Are you following my point? It's just tough. I love the dog. I really love the dog, but it's just tough. I will get another one. I might even love the other one more than this one. Yes. If they did not steal it, he can even die. Can't he die? He can die. He can run away. It's just tough. So I will sit down now and begin to, and I will lose out on everything that God could want to do with my life because somebody took my dog that can be easily replaceable. Somebody can even give me 3 dogs. Are you following my point? It's just tough. It says, those that love the Lord, great is their peace. They will not be offended. When I see how people are easily offended, it shows the state of their heart. Some people, you can, if any small thing, if they are angry, they are always too sensitive. You are too sensitive. Everything means something to you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, judge not. Abi? That you will not be judged. And when it says judge not, it wasn't talking about judging as to tell people what they did was wrong or right. He was talking about how to interpret the motive behind which people did what they did. Are you following my point? For instance, you should judge people. You should judge. Are you following my point? Judge. If you are going out this night now and you saw some guys with black bandana and matches, you better judge them. What did I say? Judge them. Judge them fast. Don't say, no, I judge no man. Eh? Judge them. What he's saying is that don't give a reason for what people do. Now, I can say that what you did hurts me, but I don't know why you did what you did. You see, and people judge others by their actions and want to be judged by their own motives. Are you following my point? Somebody drove right in front of you without putting on his trafficator. You are very angry. What if his trafficator has spoiled? What if his wife just died? Are you following my point now? Now, I am not, I don't know the reason why, we don't know the reason why people do. I can conclude that, of course, what you did now really hurts me. But by the time I come to terms with why you did it, I might even have to apologize to you. And I had the story of a man of God who had prayed for a young man, and the young man got healed from cancer. And this young man was so zealous for the Lord and was going everywhere, everywhere, preaching the gospel, and was following this minister of the gospel, following him everywhere. And this guy was so passionate for God that he went on a 47-day fast without eating anything. He was so zealous but so foolish. He was just everywhere. And people were trying to calm him down. He says, please calm down. He says, no, that even if I die, this man of God will come and raise me from the dead. And he kept telling everybody everywhere that don't worry if I die. You know, he really believed in that man of God. And of course, there was nothing wrong. It was just that he was about 18 or 19 and extremely, extremely zealous. And he was going about all their Bible study meetings and telling people everywhere that even if I die, you know, these guys are going to do, they should leave him alone, you know. And so when he broke his fast with, I think, with fried meat or something. He broke his fast with something, maybe fried chips or something, and he died instantly. And everybody said, no, that's this man of God will come out as a wounded. And then, I mean, everybody from the Bible study meetings, everyone that knew, because they knew them, you know, they knew everybody came. In fact, about 2 people even saw a vision of the man of God coming to the meeting and raising him from the dead. And so everybody was, so people even came for the burial, but the man of God did not even come at all. And so everybody was furious and angry, and even the parents were shut down because they shut down the Bible study meetings. They were furious. By the time they were going to see this man, he was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by the grandmother of that boy, who was a witch, and I said nobody must raise him from the dead. You see, you don't know why people do what they do. What you know is what they have done. And before you judge people, let them say what happened. Are you following my point? Let me quickly go on this morning. This evening, I beg your pardon. There are four expressions for offenses. The first expression for offenses is it you? Could you be the one who has a problem? I started there because that is the last place people used to check. It's easy to check everything, everyone else. Easy to check everybody else but yourself. Sometimes when there's hurt, when there's grief, when there's sorrow, when there's pain, the first thing to check is you. You have to diagnose, was I the one who caused this? Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Why looking at the mote that is your brother's eye?
But considerest not the beam that is in thy eye.
You are not
eye.
Looking at the beam. Look at NLT. What does NLT say? Give me NLT. Give me NLT and NIV.
And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye?
Yes.
When you have a log in your own.
Why are you worrying about a speck in your friend's eye? What your friend did wrong? When there's a log. What does NIV say?
Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye?
It causes speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when there's a plank, Abby?
Yes, sir.
Do you know plank? Eh? Do you know plank? 2x2 is small. 2x2 is like a, all this short on. You know plank? Plank is like 5 feet old. Long like this. But you are very worried about the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye. Starts from you. If there's any sorrow or hurt or pain anywhere, start. Could I be the one. Most times people will rarely start from there because it's easy to judge the other person. It's easy to say the other person is the person that did wrong, that did this, that did that. It's always easy. And, you know, and pastors, we are victims of that. As a pastor, when I first started pastoring, I learned later, but I already suffered many, you know, incidences like that. People come and it's forced to report. Is it forced to report? When they come quickly, they report. They report. If you're not careful, you have already, you know, made up your mind about what that person did even before the person spoke. A very, very funny incident that happened one time. One of our brothers in church here. A lady that he was not married to was living with him. Are you following my point? They were not married. So I think he, you know, misbehaved and treated the lady very harshly. And the lady, you know, couldn't take it and then messaged me. I said, Pastor, and he said, please, Pastor, don't judge me, please. I know that what I did is wrong. What is that a problem? And reduced it or something. It's distracting me. He said, Pastor, I know what I did was wrong. You know, we shouldn't be living in the same house, blah, 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 blah. You know, so that before I even say anything, she quickly pushed that one forward so that I would not be able to talk. Say, hey, I know I'm wrong. I know. I should not be near. But Pastor, this guy did this. I said, he did that. This guy did that. He did those. This is what I had. That's very, very bad. So I called the guy. I said, I'm coming to see you. How can you do such a thing? So I went to see the guy. And the guy met me one evening. We're in a place together. I said, I'm very, very disappointed in you. I'm very this, I'm very that. The guy said, well, Pastor, it's true. What I did was wrong. You know. But did she tell you that she was sending a nude from that my house to another married man? I said, where? We didn't really talk so much to that. we didn't really go deeper. People are quick to point accusing fingers at others. It's easier to say that this person has a fault. This is the person I did wrong. But they are the problem. Nobody may tell you, but the reason why your relationship broke, you may have been the problem. I'm telling the truth. You may have been the problem. I'm not saying that the other person doesn't have a part, but I'll come to that in a moment. You may have been the problem. And sometimes having a very holistic and, objective diagnosis of the issue is always good for future matters. Be true to yourself. I was the problem. Some of us have very bad character. Some of us are very entitled. And we choke life off the person we're partner with. We choke them. Some of us are so needy of attention that you choke the person till the person gave up. You don't have a life of your own. So your life, you know, sometimes I meet people and I don't know them. You see, but they meet me today and they're, Pastor Billy, I don't know you. You know, and they just want me to love them. They just want to be my best friend today. They just want to, I can't, it takes time. You are choking me, give me space. Yeah, I can't be your best friend today. I can't. I appreciate that you, but I honestly don't know you. And so people are in the relationship, because the partner didn't call them in the morning, there's a problem. He didn't call them in the evening. There's a problem. It's not all about their life. There's a problem. He didn't do that. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. And because of the emptiness of their life, are you following my point? They choked that fellow. See, the person had to give up because he couldn't manage. The person is not even performing well at work anymore. Their life couldn't go on. It's terrible. People have to have a life of their own. You are not an attachment to a male. You are a male from heaven. Not find attached for your kind reference. You are a male. You are an human being. You are sent here on assignment. And you can fulfill it with or without marriage. You are a human being. Are you following my point? You are a full human being. Let others breathe. Let them breathe. Let them breathe. You know, one of my former office, there was a woman who her husband has no life. That's the only way I can describe it. Has no life. Our office closes by 5. By 4, it's already downstairs. This woman is the head of chambers. You see her frantically calling. Baba Lagbaja, leave me alone now. I'm at work. We are working. It's so terrible that if we get out of the office, maybe they send us an assignment from the office. That time I was a copper. I'm going to go to AGs or FCDA or all those kind of works that we go to, or CAC. He had already bribed the security guys in the compound. Now, the moment we drive out, they will call him. We have moved. He will call us. I'm telling you, truth to God who made me. He's the one that will bring us back to the office. He will come and meet us there. No escape. And he did that so much, he choked life out of this woman. Her career could not grow. She had to leave the office. She could not cope. It was too much. It was embarrassing. He's downstairs. He's calling security. Go and call her. Go, what's that? We're at work. When we went to South Africa, we had just one phone, one SIM card, because we just got into place. All of us had to share the SIM card with our loved ones. I said, if you want to call me, we had to leave the phone for this woman. Telling you. He called her every minute. My boss said she will never travel with us again. What kind of problem? She had to leave. She went to Nexim Bank. She got a job in Nexim Bank, earning about 250K as of 2011, 12. 250K. She lost that job because she couldn't focus. Have a life. Have your own life. You are a human being. And this is why some relationships are stressed and strained, is that the people there have no life. And so they are sucking out life. It's a parasitic relationship. They don't have anything that they are doing with their lives. And so they must get all the assurance, all the affirmation, all their everything, they must get it from that partner. And no human being was born for another person. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is nobody on the face of the earth that was created to make you happy. Yes. Nobody. Nobody on this earth. You have a responsibility for your own happiness. So check out first. Am I the problem? Was I the one? Was I lazy? Was I flippant? Was I careless? Always start from yourself. Matthew chapter 5, 23 to 24. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Help me.
Therefore, thou bring thy gift to the altar.
If you bring the gift to the altar,
and there rememberest that thy brother,
and you remember that your brother
had aught against you. Leave there thy gift.
Leave your gift there.
Before the altar. And go thy way.
Go thy way.
First be reconciled.
Now, the Bible says to go to your brother and be reconciled to your brother. So when you find out that you are the one who was wrong, you take the initiative for reconciliation. If you find out that you messed up something, you did something wrong, you hurt somebody, now you go and take the initiative. Take the initiative, and I'm going to say one or two or three things under this. Please take note of this very carefully. Go and talk to the person. Now, if you've said something about something and you've done something wrong about somebody that's hurt somebody, don't just go on with your life like that and expect that time will heal that hurt. Time doesn't heal anything. Nothing better happens in time if nothing better was done in time. Time doesn't heal hurts. It is action, deliberate, intentional action that heals a hurt. If you hurt someone and then you have found out, don't just assume. And then two, don't guilt trip the person into forgiveness. There are people that they came to ask forgiveness, but they manipulate forgiveness from you. They are the one that offended you. By the time they are done, you are the one apologizing. Very narcissistic. They will twist it. Now, when you come and you have hurt someone, you can't guilt trip them into forgiveness. If someone is hurt, it's hurt. You can't demand for forgiveness. You can't expect them to forgive you. You have hurt them. Allow them to forgive. Don't expect them that haven't hurt them. Are you not a child of God? Are we not supposed to be Christian? No. You have come, say like the prodigal son, take full responsibility for your wrong. Don't come and say, I will say my own, but you too. This is what you did. No, that means you are not even repentant. What the prodigal son do? He says, I am not worthy to be called your son anymore. So when you offend someone, don't come expecting them to reinstate you back to the place of trust immediately. If I hurt you and you don't know, maybe I said stuff about you. I say you are a devil. I say you are stupid. I say you are wicked. If I said stuff about you like that and you don't know, and I now am sorry, that thing should die with me. There's no need for me to tell you that I've been saying this, because then I'm going to come and dump my trash on you. Even if I come, I'm going to leave you wondering, so what did I now do? Why did he think of me like that? So now, after you have come to ask forgiveness, you leave me with the duty of having to clear my head. You get my point? So there's stuff I can... For example, if you have a friend, somebody said something wrong about you, and I heard it somewhere, and then the person got sorry, and I saw he was sorry, I don't need to now say, Pastor, sorry, do you hear that this person... There's no need. You don't know about it. Are you following my point? He doesn't know about it. If I take that trash and dump it on him, even if that guy has dealt with what he was dealing with, I'll have to put him on a place now that he has to start trying to deal with what he's heard. There's no need for that. But if he knows about it, I would come and I would ask for forgiveness, and I will not demand for trust. If you are here and you've cheated on your partner, you can't demand for trust. You can't be angry. You have breached the trust, and you cannot expect them to forgive you. No. You cannot give them a timeline. We do wish to forgive you. You have messed up. You were the one that caused the problem. Everything was going on nicely until you went out and did what you did. Are you following my point? So you, even if they forgive you because they are godly and they are nice, if they trust you again, then they are foolish. Forgiveness can be given, but trust is earned. And it takes long to earn a trust. So even though the Bible commands us to forgive, the Bible did not command us to trust. Are you following my point? You must give the person time to regain that trust. If you put people back in a place of trust immediately, and if they hurt you again, that's when they say, once bitten, you see, you are the one that was foolish. Give them time. Of course, it's not like you're going to close your mind to any possibility of trust. As a believer, you're going to open your mind, you're going to give them chance, you're going to give them room, but you're not going to immediately put them in a place. If anybody has hurt you, and they have hurt you deeply, give them time. Forgive. You can. Forgive. The Bible says forgive. But give them time. And you who has offended someone, don't expect that the person would give you back all that you had with them. And that's why the prodigal son's style is the real system for repentance. He says, I am no longer... He says, I'm not coming back home and expecting, Dad, guess who? It's your boy. Back home. Where's my door? Where's the key to my room? Which room? He said, he didn't come with that attitude. He came sober. And he didn't come and say, Daddy, you too, this is what you did. Even if the person was 90% wrong and you are 10% wrong, confess your own 10%. Take responsibility for your 10% and leave the other person's own alone. True repentance, genuine repentance and soberness will take full admittance if you have been wronged. All right? I'll jump to the next one quickly. I'm sure I can finish this. I'll do this next week. Number two, if it is the other person. Hey, I'll continue this next week. Let me just touch this second one quickly. Because the reason why I'm doing this is because we're in the month of healing. And the Lord is healing people. We need to get healed of this too. All right? So let's quickly look at, I'm going to touch this next week. So let me just jump second so that I can have something to take home. If it is the other person, Matthew 18 verse 15 to 17. Matthew 18 verse 15 to 17. If it's the other person. I said there are four instances, Abby. This is the second one. So I'm not done with the first one, but I just want to touch on the second one a little bit so that at least you know you went home with 2 points. Two points. All right. Matthew, help me. What does it say?
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee.
So if your brother is the one that offended you now, yes?
Go and tell him. His fault between thee and him alone.
Yes.
If he shall hear thee,
yes.
Thou hast gained thy brother.
Yes.
But if he will not hear thee,
yes.
Then take thee one or two or more.
Yes.
That in the mouth of two or three witnesses,
yes.
Every word may be established.
Yes.
And if he shall neglect to hear them,
yes.
Tell it unto the church.
Yes.
But if he neglect to hear the church,
yes.
Let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican.
So the Bible gives four steps to handling offenses if someone else offended you. And I said it before. If someone else is the one that offended you, be matured enough to say, I'm not the one who's wrong. It's that guy. After you have checked whether you are the one. You see, there are people that are very, like I said again, they are so man-pleasing that they take wrong for everything, even when they are not wrong. Like I said, people that take wrong for anything, even when they are not wrong, they will be easily abused in relationship. There are people who are in relationship in church and are always being abused. You'll be shocked how demonic and narcissistic some brothers and sisters are in the church. Terrible devils are living inside church. If you hear some things, you'll be shocked. I can't even tell some things, because if I tell some things, it looks as if I'm disclosing. But sometimes I want to just beat somebody's child. I'm telling you. I'm just angry. I heard about someone who's, oh God. The guy has no job. Has no job. This girl is the one sustaining that guy. They are not even married. Has no job. Looks for no job. A salary comes in, divides the salary, gives him a part in the name of stupid love. When the brother did that for a while, saw that this is nice, invited his sister, younger sister, from the village, moved in with his sister. The sister now is fending for the younger sister, fending for the man, and this useless younger sister that came from the village could not even help to wash dishes. This lady would wake up, cook before she goes to work. This other lady would stand up, eat and sleep, and she would come back and make the dirty dishes. That person is in this church. Oh. Sad. And if she complains, listen. If she complains, the guy will say, hey, so you know, is it the kind of person you want, is the kind of wife you want to be? They did not stop there. When she went home for Christmas, listen to me. When she went home for Christmas, the mother was rubbishing that sister. I said that because maybe she complained about some things, and that boy told his mom that she complained. He says, My son can never marry a girl like you. I thank God that God has delivered that sister. When things are wrong, be matured in your mind enough to say, you are the one that is wrong, not me. Be settled, be self-assured, be self-confident, be self, you know, confirmed enough to be able to say, I am not the one who has a problem. It is you. If you can't do that, then you'll be easily abused. The Bible says when you find out that somebody has done that or offended you, the first thing to do is to go and see the person alone. You see that? If we follow these steps, it will cut down most of the problems that we have in the church. Alone. See the person. If Bobby hurts me, go and meet him alone. Don't tell anybody when you have not first spoken to Bobby. Don't go and tell anybody anything. If somebody, are you following my point? Jesus said it. If somebody hurts you, before you, of course, you will soon go and bring somebody in case the person does not. But the first thing is to you tell that person all by yourself and say, Bobby, what you did, I don't like it. Now, it's possible again that Bobby has an explanation for what he did. If I go and tell someone first, I will give that person an opportunity to help me interpret what Bobby did without Bobby giving a chance to see what happened. Now, if I go and meet someone, the person I will possibly go and meet will be someone that will also have my prejudice or my bias and help me reaffirm my emotions against what Bobby did. And people have left church because of this. People can say, Pastor, I don't like what the pastors do. Pastors this, pastors that, pastors this, pastors that, pastors that, pastors this. I say, can you imagine? Bobby, have you noticed how we are staying long in church these days? Telling you, normally, by what time we are close, but pastor's just there, just spending time. And then I even noticed that he's not even really greeting. You know, it's as if he's even beginning to select people. Bobby said, hey, my friend, haven't you noticed that there's a rise of homosexual among pastors these days? Maybe it's even an homosexual. Because I even saw the way he's doing his hand when he's talking. So two of us crying, I'm going to miss somebody. You don't say, are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? Sincerely, are you being blessed? Let's be sincere. When last were you blessed? And so, nobody comes to ask. Nobody knows why anything happened. It was because of this that Jesus Christ insisted that you go to that. That's Jesus' principle. Go to that person. Because offenses will come. Listen to me. People have offended me in this church. And I've offended people in this church. And I'm still going to offend people. And there are people who are very... I like, for instance, on Sunday, Jane came and met me. I like Jane. Jane inquired. He said, Pastor, it's been 2 weeks now. We've not even asked meet or talk calls. What's happening? Came and said, why have we not made other calls? It's been like 2 weeks. So and he says, we've not made other calls for 2 weeks. So, ah. I said, please, remind me. You know, he said, okay, Pastor, I'll remind you. Somebody's going to go and say, we are no even longer bothered about souls in our church. Have you noticed that pastor's not even making other call anymore? The person moves it, builds it. Before they say, it's only money. Partnership, partnership. That's what they know. Because the person didn't come and ask me. What if I forgot? Go to that person first. Go to that person first. Tell the person what you did. I know it's not normal to confront. A lot of people don't like confrontation. And it is good. So if you think in your mind that, I have to confront this person, you quickly forgive the person. I beg, it's not even up to that. It's not even a serious matter. Let me just, you quickly, because... You don't have that power to go and be asking the person. But then you must not tell anybody anything if you have not first spoken to the person. There was one time, something happened in this church. I think Praise was supposed to go and on Jane or something. And I said they should not on the AC because of diesel. They were calling. They were invited. The person that bringing diesel is coming. So I said they should not on the AC streets. Let the person come before this. So I think there was some form of business interpretation. You know, some one or two people just said that money, maybe it's because of money. Maybe pastor's trying to save money. And the problem is that we're inviting too many guest speakers in this church. So all those things that happened. So one of them, who was my friend, came and told me, that pastor, he came to my office, he said, Pastor, somebody said, the person said, I said, hey. I said, who said that? He said, this person, mentioned, I said, hey. I said, very good. I shook him. He left. As he was going, I opened the WhatsApp group, put all of them inside. Even he saw himself in the WhatsApp group. Immediately. All of them. I said, everybody, I had this, I had that, I had this, I had that. Everybody begin to explain. So he said, no, it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. Everybody be saying their part. Everybody saying their own. I said, look, this group, I'm going to close this group when we're done with this conversation. All of you will delete this group. This thing did not happen. You bury it till you die. But none of you must ever speak to someone else about something you have about me. Without, I said, I feel very, very unhappy that you even thought that maybe money. Why didn't you come to me? Have I ever behaved myself like someone that you couldn't walk up to? Ever in this church? I said, Pastor, I said, no, I forgive you. If I didn't forgive you, I won't open this thing. It's because I have forgiven you, and because I know that you have, I also know that you have the best interest of this church at heart. You see, I know that one, basis. Are you following my point? That one is basis. I know that. The reason why you're even reacting like this is because you really love this church, and but you did not go by, you didn't go this way, this thing, you didn't do this thing the right way. You could have told someone who could not say, they don't chop church money finish now. You could have told someone who's going to carry that news and mold it differently. But I'm grateful to God that all of you that were involved are people that I know have the best church. In fact, there's one of them that I had it. He said, it's not there. I said, you are that person's friend. I think that you might be there. So be there. But you see, we shut down that thing totally. We killed it there, buried it there. Nobody heard anything. There was no gossiping around. There was no need. It is because people carry news. Holy Ghost-filled believers, tongue-speaking Christians, will go to their house and take another Christian and slaughter them and speak terrible things about them, and they have no conviction that this thing you are doing is bad. Your Holy Ghost is a fake Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth. How? How can you sit down and talk about a fellow believer maliciously? I don't know if you can say, excuse me, has any of us told this person this thing? Is the person aware? Say, no, which are we? We don't get time. And you slaughter that. It's very, very terrible. And that's what's causing gossip and rumors and things to spread in church. It's wrong. Some people have left church because of this kind of thing. Yeah, church people, I know one problem. I bet church people, I know. Because people can carry gossip in church without giving people the opportunity to explain what happened. Don't tell people stuff if you have not told the person. The person may have a good reason for doing what they did, or may have some form of excuse. And you too, don't open your head like dustbin for people to find it comfortable, because there are people that if you want to hear rumor, they are the bank. There's nothing negative about anybody in the church that the story is not in their hand like this. They are like that. It's because they are a dustbin. That's why people feel it very, very comfortable to come and drop their trash and their rubbish inside them. You know, when I was in my former church, there was a story I heard. I joined my former church in 2011. There was a story I heard about a particular brother who slept with a particular sister in the choir. I heard that story as I joined the choir. Induction. So, I joined that church in 2010. I came to Abuja 2011. I heard that story 2011. In 2018, how many years after? 7 years after, a lady just joined the choir, and her house was not far from my house. So I was going to drop her off after Ria's house. And she was telling me that, am I aware that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so slept with each other? This was 7 years after. That means there was someone who is a custodian and has taken the responsibility to ensure that this story, this culture, people are properly socialized and informed from generation to generation. The Bible says God hates a man that causes discord among brethren. You see, if you follow this principle, some of the hurts, I'm going to come to how you can heal. I'm going to come, like I said, I'm not on this street tonight. I'm going to come to how you'll be able to heal from your hurts. But first of all, keep gossip. If somebody hurt you, walk up to the person. Tell the person, I don't like what you did. Now, if the person does not listen, the Bible says, what should you do? He said, go and bring two or three people with you. It's not like you're not saying, hey, very good. Let me go and bring my own people. So I bring Alpha, carry Bobby. We are going to go and blast that person now. That's not what the Bible is saying. You have to take people who are unbiased. People who can have an impartial view about what happened. Because the truth is that when you're arguing with somebody, you're not even listening to what the person is saying. As the person is talking, you are thinking of your next point. Hi, you get my point. So that's what you're doing. So when you bring out a third party who is not sentimental, that's what scripture says. Take a third person who is going to look at what happened objectively and say, I think you are wrong here. I think this is where you missed it. I think you were. That's the kind of person you should bring. You take that person with you because you are keen about reconciling with your brother or with your sister. If we don't have love, Chukai says, he says, but this is how people will know that you are my disciples indeed. When you love one, we do have reasons for people to hurt. I'm telling you, in church, I've had more hurt because I've lived most of my life in church than I've lived outside. So I've had more people hurt me in church than I've ever had in my entire life. And people have been hurting me since I was in secondary school. And by the way, when I was in GS3, there was a lady that liked me. There was a lady that liked me in class, in GS3. I didn't even know she liked me. But there was another brother that liked the lady. And that brother is a church member. And I just gave my life to Christ. I think it was SS1. I just gave my life to Christ. And this lady likes me. And the other brother wanted to convince the lady otherwise. Imagine me just giving my life to Christ, just joining the fellowship of brethren, you know. And this is my brother who is in church, who I now found out is in my class. I was very happy to gravitate towards him because I wanted to learn more about Jesus, you know, and I wanted someone who's a Christian, who's a brother. So this brother now went to go and tell that sister that my father is an herbalist. I'm telling you, I was very hot. I felt betrayed. I said, for what? If you like her, why can't you just tell her you like her? What's my problem? How would you go and tell her that? SS1. I just gave my life to Christ. I'm already meeting church folks. What kind of rubbish is that? And there are people who are doing that at, you know, bigger levels in church. Blackmailing people because you love a sister. You think you go there and spoil that other brother. You spoil that brother's chances. You spoil that sister's chances. There are sisters that spoil other sisters' chances with a brother by going and to tell that brother bad things about that sister. They happen in the church. It's wrong. If you like somebody, you like a person. If God says your own, it's your own. Are you following my point? So people are going to hurt you, but you must learn to forgive. There are people that, you know, as you're trying to save them, like I said, as a pastor, I have to face this all the time. People are people that you love and you want to help. I was saying in my status this morning, because I've seen people who hurt. And when people hurt, as a pastor, you hurt the pastor. My heart hurts. It's because I'm your pastor. If you hurt, my heart will hurt. If I know what was right and I was trying to help you and you missed your way, I will feel the pain you are feeling. Because, you know, it's just like, I'm just there as your pastor. I love you with all my heart. You see, I wanted to save you from this brother, but he did not listen to me. I knew this brother is a devil. I saw him. I know he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's going to sleep with you and walk away. And I can see it. But you're not going to listen to me. Because you go there and then it touches your breasts. And I can't touch your breasts. And so he has an advantage. He has an advantage that I don't have. So I'm talking sense into your head, but he's talking rubbish into your heart. And so I see how you follow him foolishly. And people's lives are destroyed. And I'm hurting. And you do all you can. But people still make up their minds what they want to do with their lives. Praise the Lord. So offenses will come. Now, I've emphasized these first two. Next week, I'm going to go to the next two. And if you make up your mind, Bible says, great is thy peace. Nothing shall offend them. If you live a life without offense, your life will be full of peace. You see that? You're not coming through that place and see something bigger, but pass that side. Pass this side. If I see my pastor, you know, when I went to my church, my wife and I went to my former church. Look at this man. Man, where are you? That's Manuel. Manuel, stand up. Let them see. So Manuel is my very good friend. See, this Manuel is a member of my former church where I was serving. Manuel, sorry, I'm busting your bubbles. Please sit down. Now, Manuel is my friend. Manuel comes here freely. Are you following my point? He can come here, he can come to my house, he can come to my office, even though he attends my former church. Now, Manuel is friends to some people here. Are you following my point? In this church. And sometimes Manuel can even carry them from my former church. Are you following my point? I'm not sitting somewhere agitating. And I come, some of you, I saw that you are beginning to go up and down. If you are here, be here. If you are not here, be not here. If you are lawyer, be lawyer. Some of you are going up and down. Don't you have a pastor? Are you not going to the pastor? What are you looking up and down? Rubbish. Great is the peace. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. I did not impregnate anybody there now. I left there. I did not steal money. I did not steal human being. Are you following my point? The last time I went there, my pastor was sitting down there. I got to where I was there, and I went and I prostrated in front of my pastor. In front of everyone. There's no offense. No offense. I didn't offend him. There's nothing they can count against me. And if anybody, I mean, this is GT. GT is head of a Fashion Connect group. They had a Kana fashion parade. And GT went and posted the flyer of my former church on the Connect group. That let's go to this meeting. And I didn't private chat. Are you mad? What's that? So you want to are you crazy? You know you can't do that somewhere. You can't do that. You can't do that in some places. You know you can't do that. Do you know you can't do that? If you try that, they can even remove you from a position. That means you're not serious. That means you don't have sense. They'll remove you fast. There are some churches that you cannot post on that church flyer there. They remove you. They remove you. What are you posting? And so she packed members of our church to that church to go and watch Fashion Parade. A church that I left. But great is the peace. Are you following my point? Nothing shall offend them. I don't have insecurities. What is mine is mine. What is mine is mine. And I did not die for anybody here. I'm not the owner of your souls. I'm not the bishop of your soul. I am not. That would be slavery. And there are places where you can't try that. There are places that if you leave if somebody leaves the church, nobody in that church will talk to that person again. I'm telling you. So Manuel was necessary. It was in church on Tuesday. I was pulling his legs with Bucci. And he's in church again today. I saw that they have even carried Salem to one of the main house of the members. I saw that I was even pinging, telling Salem that you were going to be cooking. Great is our peace. Nothing shall offend us. Nothing shall offend us. Are you following my point? Nothing shall offend us. I'm not waking up in the morning with hypertension. Are they going? Are the church member? Are they going to another church? Are they seeing another flyer? Are they seeing? What's that? What kind of life is that? Did I die for them? Some people are angry. You know, there's some of our church members that join our prayer after our prayer. They join NSPBD. NSPCD. And I don't say, my friend, what's that? If you are here, be here. I don't have time for that. Great is their peace. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend us. If I see my pastor walk here, I have nothing against him. Absolutely nothing against him. Absolutely nothing. I went to Manus' program, stood on that altar. I was laying hands on people. People were shocked. People snapped the picture. Say, Philip. See Philip in TTCO. Laying hands on people. In my church. I've preached there before. I've served there before. I used to say that I've served more in that church than I've served in SLC. I was in that church for 8 years. I've been the only pastor in this church for 4 years. So I've been more in that church. If it comes to labor, I've labored more in that church than I've labored here. And since I'm even reaping here are the seeds of my labor in that church. Are you following my point? And if anybody is going to learn, Don't I share videos of pastors that are not even my pastor? I don't even hold back. If I know there's something that can benefit you, I will be the one to share it to you. Listen to this pastor. Look at what this pastor is saying. Great is the eyepiece. They cannot be offended. It's not everything. You tight the wall to your chest. You are breathing heavily, like a dog. Breathing. Because everything is on your chest. Great is their peace. Hallelujah. Amen. They cannot be offended. At the place of work, people are going to mess up. People are going to offend you at your place of work. But great is their peace. They cannot be offended. You don't read meaning to everything. Everybody passes, you read meaning. This is what the person means. The person's leg. That person's, that leg. This is what the leg means. You interpret the leg. Somebody put down like this. Hey, you don't know, it's only cultists that do down like that. Anything you do, they tell you the meaning. Somebody, why are you like that? Great is their peace. They cannot be offended. Just bow down and just worship God tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you because your word is true to us. You hold nothing back from us. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate you forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you because you are healing hearts. Healing hearts tonight. Healing us. Increase the volume. Like that. Like it. Healing hearts tonight. Healing. You are healing hearts tonight. You are healing hearts tonight. You are reconciling hearts tonight. Everything that is wrong and is old, you are holding and stopping. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. Remember, Rabus kebrate, lebaradaba shakta lebrata, endele broko vele kebaya, Rabus kepele lebrede, releba shataya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him. Tell him, Lord, I choose to obey you. 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 I choose to follow you in the name of Jesus. Great is my peace. I'm not easily offended. 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 Great is my peace. I'm not a hypersensitive believer. I'm not a hypersensitive person. I'm not easily offended. Great is my peace. Great is my peace. I'm healed of every emotional hurt. I'm healed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.